Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Jackie Laura Jones with you for True Forgiveness Teachings on Blog Talk Radio. You'll never be the same once you know how to forgive. And I'd like to welcome back to the show my awesome guest, Bruce Rawls, who has a wonderful site, for those that don't know, acimblog.com, which is a huge resource. And he does have course discussions with a number of people like me, and his conversations are always posted with links to related discussions on the topic and everything. It's so well organized. Welcome back, Bruce.
Thanks, Jackie. And that's a reminder that I could do more with the organization, but it's always a work in progress, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it is. It looks organized to me. So.
Oh, okay. Well, it's part of that bigger illusion, right?
Right. Exactly. Hey, before we get started on today's topic, do you have anything you'd like to announce or mention?
No, you already thoughtfully gave a nice little plug for the website. So I would like to mention, too, the two sister organizations, the Foundation for A Course in Miracles and the Foundation for Inner Peace, and their two websites, facim.org and acim.org. And,
yes.
I mean, those are always the my go-to sites and have just a tremendous, depth and breadth of information, and as well as, you know, being the organizations that have really carried this message forth from the beginning of Helen and Bill's joint venture. It includes everyone. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it's going to lead into what you and I thought we'd discuss, or at least start our discussion, which always goes into a part two episode or whatever, but what is a question from the Foundation for A Course in Miracles question answer service that you just mentioned, that site, and this is such a great service they provide with questions and answers. I mean, I know we could go on and on just about that, and you do such a good job with all the references you have on acimblog.com with the questions that you discuss, you know.
That frequently asked questions section is amazing. There's over 1,300 questions. I'm actually nearing the end. I've been going through them over about 3 years from beginning to end, and they're just, every single one of them is just spot on as far as, you know, pertaining to the metaphysics, the non-dual metaphysics of the Course, and from a very heartfelt place, and a very compassionate place, but also in a very practical, orientation too, because each of those questions really addresses the everyday, what we call real world, examples of things that people are dealing with, and, you know, huge depth and breadth of categories of things that they cover. So I highly recommend. You can also go directly to facimoutreach.org to see all those, and then they're sorted by time as well as subject and search, and it's a great resource. Yeah.
Oh, it sure is. It sure is. And that leads us right into, why don't we get into reading one of the questions that I wanted to have this show, how can I find my purpose in life? Because I get this question all the time. And it's question number 353. For those that want to look it up now, they're listening, or you'll look it up later. These shows are all archived. And Bruce and I will read the question and the answer from the point of view of A Course in Miracles, and we can start our discussion from that. So, Bruce, shall I go ahead and just read the question?
Sure. That's a great place to start.
Okay. So, this is, again, question number 353 from FACIM website, the Foundation for A Course in Miracles question and answer section. So, the question was, please explain to me how I can recognize, quote, my purpose in life. I don't get an intuitive feeling that I have found it, nor do I know what clues to look for. I've been told several times that once it's revealed to me, my whole life will just fall into place. Exclamation point. I would appreciate your input. Right? So
exactly.
That's the question. And the answer from A Course in Miracles viewpoint is pretty wonderful. And then we'll discuss that and why it's answered in that way. So did you want to read that first part of the answer, Bruce?
Sure. Sure. Okay. And it does indeed start out with, from the point of view of A Course in Miracles, your purpose is to practice forgiveness in every area of your life so that you would awaken from the dream that you have a life and a will separate from God, your source. And that's the dream that we have, a will separate from God and our source.
Yeah.
The Course is not about success or fulfillment in the world, because it teaches us that the world was made to hide our true purpose and therefore to prevent us from ever experiencing the happiness that is our inheritance as God's son. On the other hand, the Course is not against pursuing a career or being successful in a role in the world. For example, is it especially important for young people just out of school to devote themselves to their work and relationships. It is not usually helpful for young people starting out in life to be confronted with the idea as a defense against the truth.
Right.
That should come later, when a deeper level of questioning comes naturally from within themselves. After you've checked off a few score of the bucket list things that people do either consciously or unconsciously, right?
That's right.
And then we say, wait a minute, is this all there is? What's the real purpose here? Right? Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's so important, the line where it says, on the other hand, the Course is not against pursuing a career or being successful in a role in the world, because as the Course is teaching us, it's not about behavior. Whatever is scripted out for you is scripted out for you. What the Course would say is we need to go back to the mind, and do we want to view our script through guilt, the ego's lens, or through forgiveness, the Holy Spirit's lens? And it goes into this in this next paragraph, which is so profound, the answer.
It really is. Yeah. And that's such a good reminder, too, is that it, as you pointed out, it's always about the mind and not behavior. And I think that keeping that uppermost in our awareness gives us a clue as to how to read A Course in Miracles and to apply it, because it's always about what's going through my mind at any given moment, and with each of us using your own my,
right.
Since it appears that there seem to be separate minds, but it's really just one mind, and that's what we're here to discover. And we can avoid the level of confusion by realizing that it doesn't have anything to do with what we do or don't do on the level of form, but it has everything to do with our thought about ourselves and each other, that then are a reflection of the identity that we build. And so this kind of touches on the double shield of oblivion, which is the idea that we're made to basically be a smokescreen, to avoid looking at the contents of the mind. And so if we make it a point to look at our mind and without condemnation, we go past that first shield of oblivion, which is the world of space and time and matter and energy and bodies and quasars and quarks and everything in between, and realize that whole cosmic hologram is basically by default a propaganda machine for the ego to basically reinforce the idea that we're separate and that we somehow messed up royally in a cosmic sense by making something that isn't perfect peace and isn't perfect happiness, even though, we try to sugarcoat it and whitewash it and do all kinds of things, go through all
right.
kinds of gyrations, which actually I think it kind of talks about that in this paragraph too, because that's usually kind of one of the stages, or, oftentimes many times part of the process at various times in our life of trying to make the dream work, trying to make this world you know, the square peg in the round hole, trying to make it fit. And invariably, we reach the conclusion at some point, sooner or later, that the world is a dysfunctional situation and is quite literally, you know, the result of an insane mind. But that's not the only alternative. There's a real alternative that we are encouraged to uncover, because it's always there in the mind, and to recognize that is really our true and lasting and unchanging source of peace that is available to everyone, regardless of whether or not we, you know, take the time to acknowledge it. So do you want to read the next paragraph?
Very well said. I sure will. Okay. The Course's view actually is quite liberating in the sense that you can fulfill your special function of forgiveness in any role, in any career, at any time, and in any place, because it has to do only with the content in your mind, not the form your life takes. And they reference here the text, chapter 25, section 6. You thus can view your life as a classroom that presents one opportunity after another to recognize whether you've chosen the ego or Jesus as your teacher, and then to make another choice if you discover you have chosen the ego. You would know which one you've chosen by your experience. With Jesus or the Holy Spirit guiding you, you would see your interest as less and less in conflict with others, which means that you would realize that you share the same wrong mind and the same right mind with everyone else. You would be more inclined to relate to yourself and others in the context of sharing the same needs and dynamics of the ego and the same attraction to undoing separation. Growing into this way of relating to others is your function. This is done at the level of the mind. I just inserted that. The lessons in the workbook, the lessons in the workbook combined with the study of the text are designed to facilitate this training. Oh my goodness, Bruce, let me just go back. It's packed with stuff. Let me just go back to our special function of forgiveness, which is what the course teaches is our true purpose here, can be done in any role, in any career, at any time, and in any place, because it only has to do with the content of your mind. So when people are saying, how do I want to find my life purpose? We know this is asked within the ego framework. We know what people mean. I want to find my purpose. How do I help others in the world? What is my career? Should I do this job or that job? Should I have this relationship or that relationship? Is my purpose to help a lot of people or a few or no one? You know, we can go on and on. So we know what context this is asked in. But this is the brilliance of the course. See, the script is written and set on one level. So whenever we think we don't know our purpose, we're not at peace. It's the ego's beautiful number of making the world real, saying there must be something else. I feel lack. I feel that I'm not helpful. I feel that I'm not contributing. I feel like a failure. I feel whatever it is, we can fill in the blanks. But if we think about it, for those attracted to this path, which again is one of many, the course is teaching us, oh my gosh, if we go back to our mind and undo this dis-ease, this unconscious guilt, this feeling of separation from our Creator, we will recognize that our job is just to bring this newfound peace into everything we do that will direct all of our functioning, which would include being peaceful if you happen to have a career change, or if you happen to... something happens to happen on the level of form to change circumstances, you'll be at peace about it. But it shifts the focus from the body and the world, that there's something that you have to do there, which is so liberating.
It really is. It really is. Because it makes it a universal curriculum rather than a context-specific one. And I think that's what we're really all looking for is something that we can rely on, that something that we can trust, something that doesn't change, and that truly is beyond, you know, the ego's pseudo-satisfaction, but something that's truly fulfilling, that is really, you know, the peace of God, which is not a little yeah. gift, as it says.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, there's so much in that paragraph, too, because, you know.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
it really, you know, it really reminds us that, you know, we all have, as course teacher Ken Wapnick points out, you know, we're all in the same boat, and we all have this three-part system, which is the ego mind, which is completely consistent but completely insane. The Holy
right.
Spirit thought system, which is also completely consistent, but fortunately it is sane completely. And then the decision-making faculty, which is, you can think of like a little fulcrum that is constantly vacillating between those two, and that we all have those three parts to our mind. And at any given moment, we're either choosing the insanity of the dualistic idea that somehow separation got pulled off and we did it, and therefore, you know, we're to blame, and we're all fugitives from this perfect oneness, trying to hide out in this massive dream that we call, you know, reality, with heavy quotes around it. And I think that's why we're kind of drawn, at least I certainly am drawn to virtual reality films and things like that, that kind of remind us that, you know, this is a matrix that we made up, you know, a Truman Show, if you will, of it's really a lighthearted joke when we see it properly, that parody on creation. It's if anything that can change is ultimately, you know, not gonna make us happy long term.
Right.
Because if it erodes and decays and rots and eventually disintegrates, which everything on the level of form does, even galaxies, then it's not gonna make us happy. So we need to go back to the source, which we've never left, but we've dreamt that we have, and recognize that we can choose a thought system of inclusion and kindness and that transcends the specialness of the specifics that come and go. And then that brings us eventually to the point with practice where we consistently choose against the, as Ken Wapnick points, he calls it, the maladaptive solution to the non-existent problem.
That's right.
Ego. Yeah, which
That's
is really
right.
just a kind of a crazy making collection of thoughts and feelings and beliefs that really doesn't work for us. You know, if we ask ourselves that rhetorical question, how's that working out for you? And in all honesty, we'd have to say that, you know, it, driven around by the dictates of the ego, we're not really getting anywhere.
That's right. That's right. And it's so interesting and well said in this paragraph that it says, you would know which teacher you've chosen by your experience, right? And,
exactly.
And when we experience this pain and suffering, which comes from the guilt in the mind, we don't feel well. But when we're trapped in the dream, we don't know we have another choice. So with Jesus or the Holy Spirit guiding us, we start to shift the purpose of our life from being the figure in the dream to the dreamer of the dream, which now says, you know what? I can use this as a classroom. I do have a purpose here. My life isn't futile, which when you do tell people, sometimes they start to learn that the world's an illusion. That's a pretty daunting thought, because it makes people depressed. And then they say, well, then what's the point? You know?
Exactly.
And the greatest thing about the course is that it matters hugely what you do here, meaning which teacher you choose, which directs all your functioning. And you really do feel that you're helpful, because like you pointed out so well, Bruce, it's this inclusion thought now. It's in including everybody. We don't see all these one or the other separate interests all the time. People say, but I have to pursue my career and everything like that. Well, this is how I start. Let's roll it back, you know, just a little bit. And I say, okay, so who would you rather have as your internal teacher and your guide while you're seemingly pursuing your career or trying to be present in your relationships? Who would you want as your guide? You have two choices in the mind. So let's just start there. What if you could start your day off choosing to have the Holy Spirit or Jesus in your mind, asking them to direct all your thoughts? Maybe we start there. And we start to experience a little more peace, whereas where we would have led with fear, with the ego, we may have been ready to attack, or we're on defense all the time because someone's going to come and get us. What if we started to have an experience where something shifted, and then something that seemed to rattle us or bother us that someone else said, all of a sudden has less, you're less interested and it has less of an impact. Mm-hmm. And you start to notice little by little, well, wait a minute here. I'm actually changing my experience here as I change my internal teacher. You know, A Course in Miracles is a self-study curriculum for attaining inner peace and awakening, right? And so forgiveness instead of attack, shared interest instead of separate interest starts to manifest in being gentler with ourselves and others in the dream where we believe we are, right?
Exactly, exactly. And that's that emphasis on relationship and inclusion and shared interest that really, in fact, that's actually reflected in modern physics too, because some of the more progressive physicists talking about, you know, the quantum theory suggests that there really isn't any specific instance of anything, but it's the relatedness of what appears to be evident. It is really where the importance lies, which is basically saying that, it's really no specific place, but it's everywhere. And I think that's the awareness that I think we're drawn to intuitively that guides us. And to kind of clarify, since this paragraph mentions Jesus, the Holy Spirit, for people who might be new to A Course in Miracles, these aren't necessarily the conventional formal religion definitions of those personages, but really symbols that we have taken us into this dream of duality that represent. And you could use anything. It could be Buddha. It could be Nisargadatta or Ramana Maharshi, or it could be somebody who inspires you that gives you a feeling of a reference point for non-duality that is helpful and reminds us that the dream that we appear to be in is not the reality, and that the who that seems to be running the show is really just a character on the screen, that really, and that kind of ties into the whole question of free will that I think you brought up a few moments ago. That's kind of interesting how it ties into the idea of purpose, because on the level of the ego's script, there really is no free will. But I think, and this is where it kind of ties into your brother-in-law, Gary Renard's teachings with Art Nunn-Purse's commentary about the quantum forgiveness process that basically shifts us when we truly forgive what has never happened by seeing the ephemeral dreamlike quality of things, by shifting our emphasis from what's in it for me to that shared interest that the term Holy Spirit represents, then we actually do have free will to choose. And it's really only one choice, but it's one that works. And that's choosing against the ego's thought system and for the Holy Spirit, or I call it inner kindness teacher sometimes thought system, or the Jesus.
I love that term.
symbolized in the Course in Miracles as a representative or a symbol of that spirit or that idea or that awareness that we took with us into the dream to lead us out of this crazy thought system that says that, the what's in it for me at the expense of anyone else is going to get me anywhere kind of thing. That's where the real freedom lies, isn't it? Is the ability to choose for, and that also ties into the real alternative, which is one of my favorite sections in the text in the last chapter.
So
that really is, you know, the the antidote to the depression of thinking, well, okay, if the dream is not real, what is? Well, the reality is the relationship. The reality is the sameness as a reflection of the oneness that we notice more and more when we get our our grievances out of the way, when we look at our specialness, when we see that the little bursts of anger don't get us anywhere, and say there must be a better way, you know, as Helen Schuckman and Bill Thetford did a few decades ago, that prompted the describing of this spiritual masterpiece called A Course in Miracles, and that really became the impetus for all of us, I think, when we choose to look at this curriculum as a way of looking at the contents of the mind, seeing that there is a real alternative, and that real alternative is fulfilling, and there's actually no cause or whatsoever for depression or justification for that, or being the least a little bit upset. But at the same time, if we find ourselves in those states, we can forgive that too. We can say, you know, this will pass because it's just an ego flare up that is that dysfunctional thought system trying to dig in its heels and say, hey, I'm not so fast. I'm not going away without a fight. and
so when, persistent.
When we catch that crazy thought system in action, we can afford to forgive it, can't we?
Well, we sure can. And it's so funny how you were saying just this now. It is fulfilling. Like, we can't imagine sometimes when we're looking at it from our false experience here as a body that forgiveness offers everything people want and that it would be fulfilling. But what happens when you practice a thought system like A Course in Miracles, this non-dualistic thought system, without, when the unconscious guilt in the mind, guys, guilt demands punishment, right? When this is undone, the Course is calling this idea of separation in the mind is undone. There's so much less pressure. Again, these are all like metaphors and symbols we're using. There's so much less pressure in the world for you, because as these scripts that are based on this idea of sin, guilt, and fear are played out in the world, what if the Holy Spirit is asking you to reinterpret those scripts through the eyes of forgiveness? You're seeing things differently. Guess what, guys? Now you're at cause. You're not at the effect of the world. You're not at the effect of anything around you. This is what the Holy Spirit and Jesus of the Course promise us. Let them take care of this larger part of the mind while we do our little willingness of accepting Jesus, our inner kindness teacher, the Holy Spirit, into our mind and say, yes, I'm going to choose this, and watch what happens. Does it take vigilance? Yes. The Holy Spirit, is the ego complicated? Yes. Is the Course's message simple? Yes. Is it easy to practice? No. This is challenging. So we don't spout off these things as if it's, nothing,
Right,
but
right.
It
takes
is
lots
a joyful,
of practice,
it's lots of practice, but it's a joyful curriculum, meaning the Holy Spirit's curriculum, the curriculum of forgiveness, is inclusive. It involves everyone. And when you're making that choice, you're making it for everyone. You really are fulfilled in the sense that you're joining with God's will, which is perfect happiness for all of us. And Bruce, 30 minutes almost went by already. Oh my gosh.
Whoosh.
I know. And
I was just going to add one little quick comment about how when we catch ourselves, indulging in ego's crazy, I think it's so important to just be gentle and say, oh, I don't need to condemn or demean or in any way, make a problem out of this. It just serves to make it real, but just to gently release and then pick yourself up and the mind again and have a little smile. Yep.
So well said. A great way to end it. And we'll have you back, Bruce. I'm excited because you're going to be a regular. Maybe we're going to figure that out on which Thursday.
Good.
So we look forward to doing that. And thank you so much for being with me again on True Forgiveness Teaching.
Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful. I want to thank all of our listeners out there and just remind you to be kind, gentle with yourselves and others. And look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. And Bruce, we'll have you back here again soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.